Turn to Exodus 14. We're going to be here next several weeks. Next week, I will not be sharing. Dan has a word for stream, so he will be sharing. Have a request that you guys, in your prayer times, keep us in prayer. The band of brothers are going forth. We really want to receive everything that God has for us. The event is subtitle is Behind Enemy Lines. It should be pretty interesting and challenging to all the men that are be out there. So just keep us in prayer. If there are needs, you know, you can contact Irene. She will, you know, make decisions, or Jesse or Holly. I mean, they're part of the leadership team. They will, if they need to get in touch with me, they will get in touch with me. But these ladies are the leadership team, while we're away. So, you know, if there's a need, don't hesitate to call. Okay. And with that, Exodus 14, we're going to be dealing with verses 10 through 14 today. The title of this message is The Divine Squeeze, Part 2. Don't lose your focus. Okay? Last week we were talking about, in preparation, we were laying down a foundation. We talked about signs, prophetic signs, to give us understanding as to what God is trying to get us to understand for these end times, for us personally, for us to begin to understand His multifaceted plans for each one of us. We're all going through this refining process. And in this refining process, we have a duality of pressure, a pressure from outside, from the world, and a pressure from within, the Holy Spirit. And what happens is this divine squeeze is coming, and what comes out, sometimes and most of the time, isn't Christ-like. Okay? And I admit, sometimes I mess up. I do. And it gives me a great opportunity because Irene knows that I'm real fast to repent. I don't want anything to hinder my relationship with God. And so repentance is one of those things that I totally enlist and totally embrace. I'm not too large a spiritual midget to admit where I'm wrong, and I need God's covering in my life and in my life of this church. We then saw that of these areas in which the pressure from the outside and inside, there's four things that God wants to reveal to us. One is that God wants to reveal Himself powerfully to us. Okay? Those of us that were there last week understand that. Two, God will deliver us from the bondage that we have been ensnared to. Three, God changes us by empowering us through baptism. And four, and the last thing, God will destroy all our enemies. Amen? And that's the process that we're in right now. That's, you know, you could really basically see where you are in your walk with Jesus Christ in these four areas. You're either at a place where you really need God to reveal Himself really strong. There's stuff going on in your life and you really need to have Him make Himself real to you. And demanding that of God is not something that we should take lightly. God relishes it. I've shared with you many times that in the past, one time, I was really in desperate need of God, and God said, you know what, I would stop the world, or stop the universe, just to listen to my children and meet their needs. Which shows to me how important we are to Him, and how awesome He is that, you know, He takes from His schedule and focuses on each and every one of us individually. And through these things, we understand that God is trying to get Christ out of us. What we're trying to do is keep Christ contained. And that doesn't work in the kingdom of God. So let's look at Ephesians 14, verses 10 through 14. Or Exodus, excuse me. What did I say? I'll get there too. Ephesians is my favorite book. What can I say? All right. Exodus 14. I almost did it again. I'm glad you guys are Bereans, you know, and you know, you're whippersnappers, because you're whip and snap that thing on me to get me right back in line quickly. And I love yous for it. But Exodus 14, starting in verse 10. And as Pharaoh's approached, the Israelites looked up, and there the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us out into the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been far better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." And Moses answered the people, "Don't be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." All of us have been born into bondage and in sin. When we entered into this world, we immediately were captivated by sin. Right? Okay, there's not one. Only Christ was the only one who came into this world, born of a virgin, had a human flesh on, but he was without sin. Only he could be the perfect Lamb of God. And so what we understand is that people would come to us that have entered into this relationship with God, and we didn't seem to get real excited about the good news. "Ah, you know, that's good for you. Fine, you know." But eventually what happens is we caught the light. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit flicked the light on, and we understood. We understood that God is awesome. God created us. God loves us. And He loves us so much that He died on the cross to atone for our sins and to redeem us back to the Father so that we could learn to have a relationship with Him. Amen? I mean, that's very basic. But that's what has happened in Israel. Okay, when they were in Egypt, and until the angel of death walked over and saw that the lentils with blood ripped washed across the top of it, the firstborn of that house that did not have the blood on the doorpost and the lentils was killed. And that's why today it's called Passover. The angel of death passed over that house and moved on to the next, so that all those who were in that house were kept free, kept safe. They didn't suffer death. It is an example of that eventually what's going to happen is it doesn't matter how much you know about God. Do you believe in Him and do you know Him? Because, you see, we have the blood that is upon us right now. But is He real to you? That's the question. Is He real, or is He some religious activity that you have? And to the Jews in that time, He was real. Why? Because He was performing miracles. He was showing how He was going to separate His people from the people of the world. The people who were still in death and in bondage to a cruel person, the devil. And eventually He was going to destroy all those who were still held captive. It's not that they didn't hear the word. They didn't respond properly to the word. And believe it or not, there were some Egyptians that went out with the Jews when they left Egypt. Did they believe? Yeah, they believed. But as you read the account, there was also problems from them too. I noticed that when I had heard the gospel and I had friends of mine that were trying to get me saved and all, I mean, I grew up in the church. I knew the Bible stories. I knew all that stuff and all. But there was one day that God allowed an event to happen in my life that could have literally killed myself and my family. But God, because He is so gracious in mercy to me, He saved me from that. And I committed my life to Him. And I realized that there was something different that had happened to me. And I realized that, you know, as I looked at life, it was different. I was actually seeing that the sky was actually blue. There's one thing to know that the sky is blue. It's another to know that it's blue. Does that make sense? Let's use it this way. It's one thing to tell Irene that I love her. It's another to tell her I love her via what I demonstrate and how I conduct myself and all. She knows that I love her. I know that I love God. How does he know that I love him? Not because I say so, but because I demonstrate that every day. And that's what was the difference here. The Jews were leaving a life that they knew before. They were leaving everything that they had been comfortable with. They were moving out. And because of God dealing with Pharaoh, they escaped. But there was a problem. Even though we were entering into this new life, this new love relationship with Jesus Christ, something just didn't seem to be right. I mean, I was happy all the time. And I wanted to be with people and the people of God. And I was listening to their testimonies and hearing how God was manifesting himself. I was being built up in my holy faith because God is real. God wants us to know that he's real. He's working in your life and he's working in my life. And he wants us to encourage each other by telling them what God is doing in our lives. But then one day, all of a sudden, all the circumstances, all the consequences of my decisions before I came to Jesus Christ, all of a sudden seemed to come up from behind me. And that's what this is symbolizing here. The Jews turned around, and the next thing you knew, they saw Pharaoh chasing them with the army. One day we turn around and we look and we see all of a sudden all the things in our life, we were having a great time. Now all of a sudden our lives are falling apart. All of a sudden the things that we thought that we were carefree about was now made into a reality to us. What happened? What happened was that even when God destroyed Pharaoh to make him capitulate, Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he woke up. He was stunned by the blows of God, and when he finally woke up, he says to himself, "What the heck did I do? I let these slaves go. Who's going to build our roads? Who's going to build our buildings? Who's going to harvest our crops? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? We need to go get them and bring them back." And that's the same thing that happened with Satan. We're all of a sudden moving in these things and our lives are falling apart. We say things like, "You know what? I wish you didn't tell me about the gospel. I had life so much better. Things were working out for me. You know, I had a job. I had this. I had that. You know, my life was good. I was the king of my castle. Now you're telling me I got to be a servant of everybody. You're now telling me I got to do this. You're telling me I got to do this. You know what? I had it so much better. I could have lived my life the way over there and been perfectly content. Now I'm caught up in all this stuff and it's falling apart because I became a Christian. I dedicated my life to Jesus Christ." Don't you realize that's called murmuring and complaining? And when you do it in a group, don't you know that catches fire? And don't you realize that it pierces the heart of God when we say stuff like that? When we start thinking how much we had it better? And that's exactly what was going on here. What happened was fear was gripping the hearts of the Israelites. And fear grips our heart because all of a sudden we thought we were in control with God's help now. The reality of it is, God's in control, and he doesn't need our help. And he wants to reveal to us how desperate we are in need of him and how much we need his protection. We do stupid stuff, and then we blame God for it. We do idiotic things and wonder why they happen. But the fact of the matter remains is that when they come to light, we become afraid. We don't want people thinking the worst of us. We don't want people thinking how rotten we are. Well, let me tell you what. I already know how rotten you are because I live in my carcass and I know how rotten I am. So, please, let's put down the facades and pretensions, and let's get real. Let's get real. You could try to fake me out here, but I know what's going on. I ask God. And in your homes do not reflect Christ. Your homes are battlegrounds. Why? Because you still want your selfishness and self-centeredness. Or it was better than what it was before I came to Christ. You don't understand because all we see is the immediacy of our problems. We don't see the long-term issues that God is trying to bring us to so we can conceptualize and understand the vastness of His plan for us individually, collectively as a people. And what we try to do is we try to fix these things on our own. We don't go to the Word of Truth. We don't go in here because we don't want somebody telling us what we need to do. The moment I have a problem, the first thing I do is go here. I want to know what God says about something because I want to do it His way. It may cost me something, and it always does cost me something, and it's going to cost you something. A little bit more of yourself. We need to understand that the situations that we find ourselves in is because of the decisions that we made previous. And those things that happen are because God wants to end any strings, any cords of bondage. And He dealt with that at the cross. You should never look past the cross. If you look past the cross, it should be a brick wall. Because you no longer have a life past the cross. That's the truth. I can identify with Paul. My life now is hidden in Jesus Christ. The things I counted as worthy for are but dung to the surpassing knowledge of the Son of God who lived and died for me and now lives in me. Is that your reality? Or are you like the Jews, seeing that Satan is now attacking you from the behind, the rear, and trying to draw you back into your previous life, your lifestyles, your decisions, the way you speak, the way you act? Or is that becoming more and more distant from you? I can't answer that for you. But I know when the pressure comes on and there's that squeeze, what comes out reveals who's in control. Is it me or is it Christ that comes out? And walking with Him for 25 years, I can actually say more and more of Christ is coming out now. 25 years of walking with Jesus Christ. You may say, Pastor, you just didn't get it. You're right. I didn't get it. I wasn't that smart. And I'm still not that smart. But I'm smart enough to know that I could go to the Word. I can seek God's face and ask Him to reveal Himself to me to show me what it is that's holding me from becoming more like Him. Do you come to the man of God or do you come to the woman of God? And that's just not me. That's those who are more mature than you. That know God and are walking in these things. Do you go to them and ask what it is that God's got a hold of? What is He doing to try to bring you out of where you are? Or are you trying to figure this thing out by yourself? Because after all, you're so smart. You're so intellectual. Well, I thought I was smart. I thought I was so intellectual. And I found out that was the biggest hindrance of me walking in the things of God. And that's the truth. I could not comprehend with the vast knowledge that I had the infiniteness of God and what He has to do until I stopped trying to think and trying to figure out how I can make my situation better and started seeking God. Lord, what is it that You want to do? How do You want to do this? You know, what is it that You have for us? What is it that You want me to do? And the funny thing is, He reveals Himself. He starts speaking. He starts telling me. And He wants to do that in your lives. In the life of the church. He's not an ogre. He wants to allow us to go through these things to make us better, not worse. He loves us. He has the highest good for us, but he has to get the Egypt that has already been encrypted into us out of us. He wants the DNA of his godliness, his holiness, his righteousness to begin to permeate all this so that Christ will come from me. In attitude, in action, and in speech. I got a long way to go. But when we find ourselves in the mix of this stuff and our hearts grips us with fear, what do we do? Psalms 46:10 says, "Be still and know I am God. I will be exalted above the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth." In other words, stop, drop, and roll. We learned that when Jesse was trying to set her room on fire with baby powder. I learned stop, drop, and roll today. And Irene just bust up laughing, and I'm looking at this, I'm like, whatever. You know, it didn't make sense to me, but in her mind, it was. How do we react, or how do we respond, really determines if Christ is emanating from you, or you're emanating from you. Be still. Stop. Start focusing on God. Go to Him. Look to Him. He says, "Oh, we will be exalted above the nations." What does that mean? If He's telling you individually to stop, He's now telling you to praise Him, to start exalting His name, telling Him how great and wonderful He is, because He is. Well, that's crazy, Pastor. Yeah? I'll tell you how crazy it is. I started doing it. 6 months into this walk with Jesus Christ, I started doing it. And guess what? It accelerated the process of me getting out of my problems. Because God loves me so much, and He loves you so much, that as you focus on your attention, you see, Satan grips your heart with fear because you're focusing on what's coming, not where you're going. You're still worried about what was instead of what will be. And when we start focusing on the hope of glory instead of what we are losing and leaving behind, that's not worth our attention. Yeah, it rips our hearts. It tears us up. But you know what? God is worth it all. And where He is taking us as a people, where He is taking us, is not just to another place to worship. He's taking us to be with Him forever and ever. We have to resist the natural urges to do things our way. We have to resist the natural urges to think on things and how we can figure these things out. I can't figure out God. All I can do is be obedient to what He tells me, and then I understand. That's how it works. If it works for me, it's going to work for you. Believe me, I'm not a genius. I'm just smart enough to trust God. That's all. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." Acknowledge Him. Trust in the Lord. In all your ways. Not just have a string attached to something. Well, God, I'll let you handle this, but this is for me to handle. It's either all or nothing. That's how it works. You either died or you're still alive to sin. You're either going to acknowledge Him or you're not. That's why when we come here on Sundays, we come to acknowledge His awesomeness, His greatness. I think you got too much religion in you. You need to release what God has put into you and start just going crazy for Him. You do it at a football game. You do it at sporting events. You do it at recitals. You do all this stuff because that's what's expected. Well, I'm here to tell you that in church it's expected even more, because who we are worshiping and the attention that we give Him is far more better than anything in this world. I don't get excited about football. I really don't. I sat there yesterday trying to have some time looking for a game to watch. I just couldn't. I couldn't find anything. My attention is not focused on the things of the world. My attention is focused on the things of the kingdom and the king and what he wants. And that's what we need to do. I trust him with my whole heart. I praise him. I acknowledge him. Why? Because that's what pastor's supposed to do? No, that's what Gary Stiles is supposed to do. Pastor's just a job he's given me. I'm no different than you. And I want to exhort you that every time that he puts us the squeeze on in our situations and circumstances, we need to acknowledge, God, I trust you. I know that you know my situation from the beginning to the end. I know that you're going to bring me to the place where you want me to go. I have this plan. I submit this plan into your throne room, God. Do what it is that you want. If you want this to happen, as Nikki says, if you want this to happen, let it happen. But I'm going to look to you. I'm going to seek your face first. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to do the things that you tell me to do. I am not going to worry about what Satan's going to come up behind me and try to do. You see, if this is the cross and that was my life and I'm over here, he can't touch me. He can't. Why would I want to go back and give him a place in my life? And as long as you're standing close to the cross, it tells me that you want some of that stuff back here. I'm so far past the cross. I'm so far past Matthew 6:33. I don't pray for my needs. I pray for yours. You say, Pastor, that's not right. You should be praying for mine. That's how it works. Love covers. I love you to cover you in my prayer time. Do you love me enough to cover me and my family in your prayer time? That's what intercessory prayer is. It's covering. It's getting what God wants to do. And that's the responsibility of the whole church, not just a select few. Look at Acts. It'll tell you. We can't do Christianity. We have to become like Christ. And that's the forging that we suffer in our lives. Every time we stay focused on God, God brings us out a little bit further. Turn to Ephesians 6.
There it is.
Mm-hmm. I want to give you something real simple, not something real spiritual. Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Ties into Psalm 46. Be still. Stand. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, it will come. Satan will come. When it comes, you will be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. After you've tired yourself out, after you've tried to figure everything out, after you've done all that, and you've realized it doesn't work, stand. Be still, and know that He is God. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. In real simple basic terms, when the devil comes, you need to stop your activity. Okay? You need to stop doing what you're doing. You need to start focusing on God. You need to begin to start trusting that you are in Christ. He is your armor. He protects your thought life. He protects your heart. He keeps you from stumbling. He girds you with truth. He quenches all the fiery darts. And he gives you the sword of the Spirit to defend and defeat the enemy. In regular day vernacular, it means put on some thick skin. Pastor, you offended me. Please. Please, cut me a break here. But you just don't understand, you know. I understand. You're a child. You want to be treated like a child. You don't want to grow up. Time out. Get over there. I ain't got time for this nonsense. Get some thick skin. God is trying to do something here. It's called growing us all up. And until you stop whining and complaining about your scenarios and situations and you start aligning up with God, guess what? Time out. My parents used to tell me to go stand in the corner. Put your face in the corner. Don't look around. We stood there. It was fine. I'm not going to place you in the corner, but I am going to tell you, time out. Whoa. What's going on? You know better. We've gone through this before. What has God said to you? What are you doing? What aren't you doing? And I'm just going to keep bringing you back to the things that God has spoken for your edification to get you to release the junk that's in your life and start acting more Christ-like than you did before. We've got to stop being selfish in our prayers. We've got to look to see that prayer for the saints is our responsibility and our honor. Well, you just don't understand. I just don't have time. Well, guess what? I wouldn't want to be standing before God and say, well, I just didn't have time to pray for this one, God. No, you're too busy with your video game. You're too busy doing this. You're too busy doing that. You're doing everything but placing me first. Well, you're a loving God. I never knew you. You didn't spend the time with me. You're out of here. Isn't that what he said to him? I cast out demons in your name. I did this in your name. I did all that wonderful stuff in your name. And Christ said, I never knew you. You are the weakest link. Goodbye. I don't want that for any of us. I don't want it for any believer. And any pastor that's worth their salt doesn't want that. We want to exhort you. We want you to come out of your cookie cutter Christian pattern of things and really become radicalized in your faith with Jesus Christ. Let the circumstances that are created because you're bold in Jesus Christ work to your favor. Don't allow your past or allow Satan to come in to get your eyes taken off of God and what he wants to do to expand his kingdom by winning the lost that are still impoverished and in prison by you doing the same thing. There is more at stake than you really realize. You may get saved, but where are you since you've been saved? I've been walking with God for 25 years, and I'm not satisfied where I'm at. And the problem is, the longer you walk with Christ, the more endangered you are in falling, because you have everyone watching you. And I don't take that lightly. There are temptations and things that come my way that I have to be really quick to just slap with the fly swatter and get it out of my face so it doesn't have a place and drag me down. Are you protecting yourselves in that? Or are you, oh, it's okay. You have to realize that God is holy. There is no corruption in God. He is not morally corrupt. He is so pure that if we stood in front of him, all of us in front of him, our flesh would just literally disintegrate before him. That's how corrupt we are. even though I've walked with him 25 years, I don't think I would be able to stand before him. And I always ask, God, am I worthy? Am I worthy of your kingdom? Am I worthy? Because I don't want him to ever say, you're not worthy. And I don't want him ever to say that to you guys. That as you walk before him and give an account to your life, and we all are going to give an account to our lives, I could sit there like a proud papa. Yeah, there's Nolan, man. God says, well done, my good and faithful servant. He sees me, girlfriend, that's my spiritual daughter. And God says, well done, my good and faithful servant, Meek. Enter into the joy of the Lord. One by one you go through, and I had a small price in this. I saw their lives when they were started, and I see where they are and what they have done for Christ. You know, God, bless them richly. Bless them in everything that they put their hands to do. Give them the victory. Manifest that victory into their lives. Don't turn around to see what Satan is coming up on you. We know he's a sneak. We know he's a liar. We know he's defeated. But we also know that God is our rear guard. And he will not allow Satan to come and get us unless we reach back. Amen? Father, I just thank you for your word today, God. Fill our hearts with faith, God. We know that Satan, when we escaped, God, it was by your divine hand. It was by your divine light, God, that you blinded the enemy. And we began to start walking after your light, to eventually we were walking in your light, God. Let us renounce the works of evil that we've done in the past, God. Let us cut every cord of memory of that, Lord. Let us not enjoy what we did in the past, thinking that it's okay. God, before you, it is nothing but childishness. Father, forgive us for thinking that we could play the tightrope, God. Let us nail it to the cross and leave it there, God, and move on with you. Help us, God. Lead us from temptation, God, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.